Mark Calcavecchia joins us on the phone line. Good Wednesday to you, sir. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
We're well. We're definitely full into golf season here. We had a very miserable, wet, and gloomy spring, but this means it gets busy now. We got the Canadian Tour event coming up, and then you guys zipping in at the end of August, which is always one of the highlights of the golf season.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know it took summer a little while to get up north, including some of the places we were in the last few months. It was kind of cold and rainy everywhere, and then finally, went from, not sure there was a spring anywhere. It went from kind of cold and crappy to blazingly hot. So summer has definitely arrived.
How's your season gone? How's life been on the Champions Tour?
You know what? I'm hanging in there. We just got home yesterday from a 3-month road trip in the bus. I've got some physical issues, which is nothing unusual. In Houston, I managed to, 2 years ago, I managed to break my big toe, and this year I managed to break my right foot. A stress fracture, not a broken foot, but it's just a stress fracture. But, walking isn't great. I'm okay for about 7 or 8 holes, and then it kills me the last 9 or 10 holes.
Ugh, that's no fun at all.
You know, stuff like that. When you're a golf pro and your foot's killing you, and actually my back's been hanging in there good, but my short game's in good shape. I got to figure out how to hit more greens. I'm just not giving myself enough looks for birdies. So it's just that I've been through it before. That's just kind of the nature of a golf pro. Is a lot of times something's working and something else isn't, and in order to play good, everything's got to be clicking.
Yeah, fair enough. It's definitely that's the sport you're describing, to have everything going. That's rare. Only a few of you guys usually get paid when all that can come together at the same time.
Correct. But that's why we show up every week, because we've done it before. We've been through this before, and we'll always go through it. It's just part of the game. To get everything clicking at the same time. But that's why we. That's why we show up every week, and you just never know when you play 3 or 4 good holes in a row and make 2 or 3 birdies, and next thing you know, you're off and running, and you forget about all the other bad stuff that's been happening.
Tell us about your trip over to Japan earlier this year. I'm always intrigued to hear the stories. This is neat. I mean, a lot of sports, you get to the wrong side of 30, you don't get to go anywhere. You guys are way older than that, and you get they're going overseas, the tournaments in Japan, you're coming up to Canada. This is awesome.
Yeah, it was so much fun. We were over there in 2017 as well. They do a fantastic job. The Japanese fans love golf, and they take really good care of us. They put us in all the nicest hotel, and the only drawback to the entire week is it's an hour and a half bus ride each way to the course.
Yeah.
Which is okay for, 2 or 3 days, but by the weekend it gets a little old, but, they do give you a few beers, when you get on the ride home, which helps ease the pain a little bit. But yeah, we get to go to some pretty cool places. Evidently I think next year, we're going to Morocco, which, I've never been. I know some other guys have, but, it kind of breaks up the monotony of the whole tour a little bit, and a lot of the same spots. But, we love coming to Canada too, as well. The guys love Calgary. It's the fans are great. The course is great. The weather's great. The whole deal. And, I'm looking forward to it for sure.
What's the routine? I know a lot of you guys get out into the Bow River and do some fishing. Other guys, significant others up to Banff. Have you got it all figured out in terms of what the Western Canadian Tour stuff looks like?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fisherman, although I would love to do a little fishing in the river at some point. Every single year, I think I've gone up to Banff and played up there at Banff. It's one of my favorite courses. I played Port Stewart,
Stewart Creek, yeah.
Stewart Creek.
Yep.
Port Stewart's next to Port Rush. I'm in British Open mode mentality. And that's, by the way, my health reasons are the only reason I'm not there right now. I haven't played great, and my foot's killing me, blah, blah, blah. We were in the bus. We'd have had to put the dogs in daycare in Akron. So it just kind of made sense to come home and rest up a little bit. But Yeah, I'm secretly hoping the weather's kind of crappy, so that'll make me feel a little bit better by not going. But you know what I mean.
That's just evil. Mark Calcavecchia joining us. He's going to be here at the end of August for the Shaw Charity Classic. ShawCharityClassic.com for more information on Pinder and Steinberg with Ryan Pinder and Derek Wills.
Mark, Open Championship coming up a little bit later on this week. And man, it's got to bring back some great memories for you. 30 years ago, your only major.
Yeah.
Take us back.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it was an amazing week. I was playing great golf at the time. I'd won, I think, six tournaments in the 8 or 9 months previous to that, going back to the end of 88. So I was, making tons of putts and super confident. And I just remember saying to somebody in an interview, back in 89, when I show up at the course, I just felt like it's just a question of how many under par I shoot, whether it's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever. Now I'm 59 years old and I'm trying to figure out how to break par, not how many under I'm going to shoot. So, it's part of a mentality, but I knew going to Troon that I was playing great in 89. My first practice round was with Mark O'Meara, was my partner, and we played Curtis Strange and Arnold Palmer.
Wow.
So my first trip around Royal Troon was with Arnold Palmer and took 50 pounds off of him, which made him incredibly mad, by the way. But, it was just, that was a great start to a great week, and I knew I loved the course when I saw it.
Looking back, I read a story, and I'm not sure if it's an urban legend or the actual truth. You were thinking about skipping the Open Championship back in 1989, according to this story I read, because I guess your wife was expecting at the time. Is that true or false?
No, that's entirely true. 2 weeks before that, we were in an elevator. Now my ex-wife, she had like a contraction or a pain or whatever, and I'm like, there's no way I'm going. She was actually due the Sunday of the Open in 89. And she says, no, I'll be fine. You're playing great. You got to go, blah, blah, blah. Maybe she's just trying to get rid of me, which is probably the case. But sure enough, she was a few weeks late and actually delivered the Tuesday before the PGA Championship. Our daughter, Brittany, which we named Brittany because I won the British Open. And I like the name anyway. But she was born on the Tuesday of the PGA at Kemper Lakes. I couldn't hardly leave the next day after having, my first child. So I missed that one. But, yeah, almost didn't go. And, if I would have got a call, she would have never called me. But if I'd have got a call, on Friday or Saturday saying she was, in labor, I probably would have left. But I'm also 1,000% sure she would have never told me.
Pretty crazy the way things all came together for you 30 years ago and winning that tournament.
Yeah.
You must have some fond memories of playing golf north of the border here in Canada as well. As you go back to 2009, which isn't that long ago, only 10 years ago, did you actually birdie a PGA Tour record 9 straight holes at Glen Abbey? Is that also true?
I sure did. A lot of great things have happened to me in your country, and that was one of them. I also won twice in Vancouver, the Air Canada Championships at Northview, in the south of Vancouver, and then also the Open, Canadian Open in 05. But yeah, in 09, my 14-year-old son was caddying for me, and I birdied, started in the back nine, birdied 12, 13, 14, and 15. And he gave me some knuckles. He said, "Dad, that's 4 in a row." I said, "Yeah, I know, cool." But then I knew I had 2 par fives coming up and, birdied 16, made a 20-footer 17 and hit it on the green on 18. And I knew that was for 7 in a row. And the old 4, which is now 1 at Glen Abbey, is not too hard a hole. And the next hole is a par 5. So, I started thinking ahead a little bit, but I hit it on the green on 18 and 2 putted for my 7th in a row. And then on 1, I hit a 9-iron and they're about 6 feet above left of the hole. And I knew that was to tie the record because I knew the record was 8 and I just poured it right in the middle. And then I get up on the next hole, which is a reachable par 5. And I knew that was for the record. And my son says to me the day before I hit a horrible pull hook drive up against the OB fence. And, he says, "Dad, don't duck hook it over there by the fence like you did yesterday. Everybody just looked at him and started laughing. And as it turned out, that probably relaxed me. And I, anyway, hit two great shots on the green and two putted for nine in a row.
Let's hope.
And oddly enough, I was playing with J.P. Hayes, who was one of the five or six guys that had eight in a row. So after I birdied that hole, he didn't say anything except, thanks for breaking the only PGA Tour record I had. You know, like he was sad. It was kind of funny.
Wow, that's great stuff here in our nation, too. Let's hope you got a little more Canadian specialty for us August 28th to the 1st of September. Thanks for your time.
I'll be looking forward to it. Thanks so much, guys.